Aussie.
Do you want to grab a couple more chocolates and put them in your mouth while you...
Yeah, we'll
just chew into the mic. We'll just get the levels up
some,
in here.
You want some ASMR? Here you go.
Do you have your glasses on?
Put on my head.
Can you check the levels?
Hang on. Can I just... Okay.
I want the volume on 6.
No, 6 is too little. No, I could
no
a bit
if it
higher.
Goes to 7, it peaks.
Okay. All right, la 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 la. Talk. La la.
This is peaking duck. Peaking.
Yes, fine. Whatever. It's fine.
The Liberal leader in the 80s was Andrew Peakingcock.
Hey, I want to just do my ASMR with a little freckle. You ready?
All right.
Shut up. Listen. All right, I was hoping that was going to be more of a crack.
That's six things you can't tame. You're full of shit, mate.
Out of the way, extras.
This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast in the entire world. I am your host, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to hen party school to be called Rooster. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner... It's the raging Sicilian. It's
me.
The Italian stallion. Why did I never say Italian stallion
because
from
that's
the start?
A guy. I'm not a stallion. I'm a woman. No. I identify as she.
It's the Italian gelding.
The Italian golden retriever.
It's the Italian gelding swinging out of the blue corner. Big whoop, what a fight about it. She'll take your fucking arms off and won't even think about it twice. It's Kelly. Big whoop, what a fight about it for Suka.
Guys, I'm a little bit. I'm a little bit dusty. I had my hens do yesterday.
A little bit dusty, Martin.
A bit dusty, Martin, today. A bit of a DM today.
Riddled with methamphetamines.
My bestest mentors, Joanne, my sister, and Celia did a really good job of making me feel really loved and embarrassing me at the same time. They made me sing John Farnham in front of people. It was very.
What did you have the hens for?
I'll get married, you fucking dickhead.
To who?
To you, you fuckhead.
Oh, fuck.
God damn it, you idiot.
I keep forgetting about that.
Ah, but it's really, yeah, it was really fun. They did such a good job. They like.
I probably need to buy some underwear.
Why?
I don't wear underwear. So I need to get some for the wedding.
Listen here, improv king. I don't want to yes and your terrible suggestion.
That wasn't improv. This isn't a suggestion. This is real.
No, you have gorgeous underwear. What are you talking about?
No.
You have really nice underwear.
No. And?
Okay, we've had too much chocolate and we're both fucked. I've got a bag of freckles here and I'm just...
I've only just started comedy school, so I get a bit confused. It's no and, right?
Oh, God.
Ah?
Oh, God.
Ah?
Oh, good evening, ladies and germs.
I love the Germs. God. Do you know the band The Germs?
No, I don't know the band The Germs. Did they sing with Take That?
No, definitely not. They're a hardcore punk band. They're all good.
What did you put? My sister made you do a questionnaire. What was my favorite song?
What did I say was your favorite song? I had to do like a, we did like a dating game thing where for Callie's hens yesterday, her sister and best mate sent me a like fucking 40 questions.
Oh, really?
That was a lot of questions. Basically like, you know, what's Kelly's favorite thing? What's her secret talent? Blah, 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 blah. And I try, like, there were a few questions I tried to be funny. And then I was like, this thing is like being hosted by a bunch of comedians. Most of the guests are comedians. I'm just going to play it straight because I'm not going to be funnier than anything that they do. So then like, you know, the first two or three questions I tried to be funny and then the rest of them, they were serious. I put as your favorite song, Take That.
No, you didn't. Because
didn't I,
it
didn't
said,
I say take that?
What's Kelly's favorite? Like, what does Kelly like singing?
Oh, it's fucking the song from Hamilton.
Look around, look how lucky we are to be alive right now.
Yeah, whatever. What's that song called? I had to look it up because I knew
no,
the
I
song,
do.
But I
sing Satisfied in the shower a lot.
Satisfied, yeah.
You never be satisfied. Yeah. Da, 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 da.
Mate, to the groom. You're such a fucking drama student.
To the bride, to my sisters, always by your side, to your union, and the hope that we provide. May you always, always be satisfied.
Mate, you're not fucking hungover enough to stop singing musicals around there.
Well, and what happened was, so they were like, what songs does she love singing? And I said, oh, anything from Take That. And then Granny Bingo, man, if you're having anything to do with people and you need entertainment, for God's sake, hire Granny Bingo. It is the funnest. I saw abs.
They're right very, now. Very, very funny.
God, there was a moment that I was talking to Celia before. Okay, there was a moment that I looked at her face and she had no sound coming out of her mouth because she was like, my God, because they in the funnest way possible, they roast, like, you know, a few people, and they knew who your mum was, my mum, and they roasted, like, my friend Justin.
Famous mums, Leanne and Lena.
Leanne and Lena. But they were just like, and every time.
That's a podcast we should produce, Leanne and Lena, and get them talking about issues of the day.
Yeah, the issues of the day. Yeah, I want to talk about my curtains fading in Daylight Savings, the Geelong Football Club, and pedophiles. They're
not
everywhere.
Not that far off,
mate.
This fucking podcast, dude, to be honest.
It's so like, but it was just like, man, that Granny Bingo, yeah, it's, they're really, really
super
good.
Fun. And if you're in Melbourne, maybe Sydney, I'm not sure if they do
Melbourne,
stuff in Sydney.
They're Melbourne based.
I know they're Melbourne worth based, every but maybe cent. They'll go to Sydney to do stuff. If you pay them enough, maybe.
Yeah, but they're worth every cent. Corporate, they can pull it back. They can go, like, hard. Like, they're really, really funny. And you do bingo. And, yeah, the prizes I gave were we donated prizes from, like, I made Damien give me stuff to give away. So wanky stuff or silly stuff, like stuff I hate of his that I want to give away. And anyway, it was really, really great. Granny Bingo were amazing. And that was at Grouse, a venue in Melbourne. Which were fantastic, like all that jazz, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and then they said, what does Kelly sing in the shower? And I said, oh, I'd Take That. And one of them goes, oh, I don't actually, I can't remember a Take That song. So, but he's written something from the Hamilton soundtrack or Don Farnham or Whitney Houston or something like that. And then Seals gave me a bunch of songs. They called because I kind of left the stage and they called me back on the stage and went, here's a list of, they gave me Two Strong Hearts by John Farnham and You're the Voice. And they were like, which one do you like the most because you're going to sing it? And they made me sing it. They had the backing tracks ready and they made me sing You're the Voice, which a room full of 25 people singing You're the Voice, that was the song. Because as much as I was like, oh, fuck, I love Two Strong Hearts, You're the Voice I didn't need words for. It was really funny. Because they go, I was very embarrassed, but it was really funny. So I get it. Like, you know, like Seals was fucking so cute.
You didn't look too embarrassed in the video.
She was like, I hope you don't hate me like for embarrassing you. But, and I was like, mate, it was my hands. It was either going to be a stripper or I had to sing.
From what I saw, by the time you got to the first chorus, you were out on Smith Street.
Yeah.
Anyway, on top of a tram singing it.
And it was
you
just
didn't
so
seem
funny
that embarrassed.
Because they were like, they started playing the backing track for You're the Voice.
Yeah.
And Seals was like, we've got the words. And I'm like, I don't need the words, mate. And everyone laughed. And I just was like, really, like, I couldn't help it because I was like, I'm so sorry. And the music's like, ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, everyone. This is so embarrassing. We have the chair. Like, just when the moment comes, I'm like, I'm here.
Pretty amazing that the girls organized a full bagpipe band to come through Grouse at the end of the song.
And then the grannies were like, that was so epic because the whole place, the bar stuff, everyone was going, wah! Dude, if you ever want to sing along, you need – and I did feel very – because, like, the words in that are, we're not going to sit in silence, we're not going to live in fear.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like I hope that the, like, anti-vaxxer parade doesn't steal You're the Voice.
They tried,
yeah. Remember? But that's because, yeah.
Remember a fuckhead showed up at High Point in the middle of the lockdowns and was playing on acoustic guitar and got two fucking other nufties to sing along with him?
It just made me, like.
And John Farnham came out, like, the next day and was like,
no.
No. No.
But it, when you listen to the words, like, it should be more of like, you know, our government sucks, we're not going to live in fear, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it was really, really lovely. Everyone did such a great job and it was really sweet. And I'm feeling a little dusty today. Little Dusty Martin. I may have called Damon a few times going, baby, can you come pick me up?
Yeah, I didn't. I just left her there.
She didn't. And I was with her. I was with Damien's mum too.
Oh, it's not true.
And he's like, oh, I won't be there for like 40 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Come pick me up. Oh, here, you want to hear another ASMR? This is a hard a freckle. I mean, this one might work. You ready?
Fucking disgusting. Genuinely disgusting. Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk film and two boys.
Okay.
I thought maybe with this part we could like expand it to just other media, like media diet kind of thing.
Sure.
Because every now and then I'm reading a book or, you know, like...
I'm not reading a book.
Yeah, well, maybe you should. but yeah, mostly it'll be film and TV.
Yeah.
You been watching anything outside of...
Bum, bing, bling, 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 bling.
What's happening?
Bum, bling, 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 bling.
Oh, right.
So when I work as a government employee, I put TV on the background because it just kind of helps get rid of all the other sounds so that I can like just focus on what work I'm doing. So I was watching Doctor Who last week. This week I've been watching Law and Order SVU. Now, I haven't really watched a lot of SVU. I've watched a lot of the regular Law and Order. Love it. Mm-hmm. Seen it all. Even we'll go back and like rewatch a few seasons. SVU,
that's Law and Order Special Vagina Orgasms?
No, that's the like Law and Order full stop, the original one.
Ah. But what is the SVU?
Well, here's the thing. So SVO. I've never SVU. So I've never been into SVU because it's Special Victims Unit, which means it's all the rapes.
Oh, fun.
And it's like every episode's like, well, if she didn't help that man find a dog, she wouldn't have been raped and murdered.
Oh, Jesus.
Well,
Christ.
If she didn't marry that man, she wouldn't be raped and murdered. Ugh. Well, if she didn't breathe, she wouldn't be raped and murdered. And it's, it's on Netflix, so I started watching it. And I have found that, I've found that so far there hasn't been, like, they do kind of deviate, like, it hasn't been. Basically, I'll stop watching it when there's like five really significant episodes of rape in a row. But there's been a few where it started off as like a sexual assault, but has been like an immigration case or a murder case from years ago. Like they've got really interesting ways of like a guy exposed himself to women in the park, but then on the way they discovered like, you know, a counterfeiting thing. Like, okay. I don't know, but it's still the Law and Order part, and it's really good. And it's got Ice-T, he's the cop, and Damon Mansfield's daughter.
This week I've mainly been watching, remember that from the past show? This week I've mainly been eating. Anyway, I've watched heaps this week. I finished a lot of things because I remembered my Just Watch app. And the Just Watch app was like, there's like 15 shows that you're halfway through. So I finished Ahsoka, the Star Wars show. I finished the episode and was like, oh, there must be one more episode.
Oh,
and then
shit.
Like I double checked and was like, no, that's the sixth episode. So I talked to a friend about it yesterday where he was like, the ending made no sense. And he was like, no, the ending definitely makes sense. Like this happened and this happened and this happened. And I was like, dude, I've watched almost every single Star Wars thing there is. I've watched a lot of the fucking animated stuff, like Rebels and shit like that. There was no ending. Like, he was like, well, they saved the kid. And I was like, yeah, but saving the kid was a story that was introduced, like, with an episode to go. Like, the kid that was with them, like, Ewan McGregor's wife. Oh, she's her own person. I just can never remember her name. I'm sorry.
No, that's how we
the blue-haired chick from Scott Pilgrim. What is her name?
Who cares?
Ewan McGregor's wife. Anyway, her child disappeared or got captured and they saved him.
Jeez, couldn't see that.
But that was like at the beginning of the episode, and there was another 40 minutes of shit where it was like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain what happened. It was it just putted out. It just was like a car with no petrol. It just rolled to a stop. There was no cliffhanger. Because my friend was saying, like, Quang, hello, Quang, if you're listening.
Hi, Quang.
He was like, oh, well, they're setting up for season two. And I'm like, yeah, but you got to make people want to watch season two.
Yeah, that's
two,
not a
dude.
Cliffhanger. Like, if you're going, where's the if next you
get
episode?
To the, yeah, if you get to the end of the season, you're like, oh, well, I don't – he was like – you know, because Quang was saying like, oh, well, then this happened and then this happened. I was like, yeah, but like there was no real story. Like there were the two dark Sith people at the beginning of the show. Nothing really happened with them at the end. I just was completely underwhelmed by the ending of it, which is a real shame because I enjoyed, like, the first episode, once it finished, I was like, rad, great. A good Star Wars show. Like Mandalorian was great. I really enjoyed that. Here's another one. This is good. Like, you know, serialized. It's like reading comics. It's like, you know, every week I can read, watch this Star Wars thing. But really bored by the end of it. If there's a second season, I probably won't watch it. Finished the Kids in the Hall new season. So the Amazon show. Amazon bought the rights to all the old Kids in the Hall episodes. And gave them money to make a new series, which I was super excited about watching. And again, there's six episodes of this. It's very hit and miss. I went back and watched all five seasons of the original Kids in the Hall. I don't think there's one bad episode of it. It's so well written. Mike Myers in a documentary about them said that they were the best sketch group of all time.
It's pretty
better
good,
than
man.
Monty Python.
Kids in a Hall is pretty good.
And I'm like,
good.
That's hyperbolic because he's Canadian, they're Canadian. I think he's right. It's like that show is better. It has a better strike rate than Flying Circus. It's, you know, I mean, there's stuff, if you really want to be nitpicky, there's stuff that is a little bit, I don't know, there might be some stuff that you might think is a little insensitive. But for the most part, like, what Kids in the Hall had that most sketch groups didn't have was a gay guy in the group, and it gave them like an out gay guy in the group. So it gave them a really unique and different voice because there was a lot of like sketches about being gay and like, but not in the sense of like, oh, isn't it funny that there's gay people? It was like the gay character would be the protagonist in the sketch. But anyway, like, it is one of those things where, like, when you see something that you love when they're super old, well, not super old, they're in their 60s, but, like, you're so used to seeing them when they're 25 and then you see them when they're 65 and, like, it takes a couple of episodes to adjust to that where
especially
it's like...
Especially Dave Foley, he's like, I don't know, something about his grey that, because he was always such a young boyish charm guy and then now you see him. Sorry, I got distracted by a dog going. Yeah, like it's weird seeing him older because you're like, oh, but your baby's still, it's like Michael J. Fox. They've got that baby look, you know. But even Michael J. Fox still looks
a bit younger. Got a bit of a baby face. But yeah, I mean, when the sketches are really good, they're still great. They're even weirder at times, which I really appreciate. There was one sketch that was a runner on like the fourth episode where Dave Foley was playing this guy who was a morning zoo DJ. And like it became very apparent that he was in an underground bunker after a nuclear apocalypse. And the only thing that was keeping him sane was to just get up and keep doing the same thing he'd done before the apocalypse, which was to be a fucking morning zoo.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so he's doing all that kind of thing. Like, okay, there's absolutely no traffic on the freeway. Blah, blah, blah. But it got darker and darker each time where he was just going more and more insane. And like he only had one record to play and it only lasted for 28 seconds until it hit a scratch and then he had to take it off. And just really like when they do really dark shit like that, they really sing. So that was great too. I feel like I watched other stuff as well, but I can't remember. Did I talk about Aquaman on the last episode? I think I did. It was real bad.
But we're excited. We've got some Gold Class tickets from my brother that you got for Christmas. And we're going to go see the Ghostbusters.
We're going to see Ghostbusters.
Why not?
4? Is that what Afterlife 2 is? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe the fourth one, because Afterlife would have been the third.
Yeah, because the girls one is like in its own universe kind of thing. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, anyway, who fucking knows? But look, Ghostbusters, it'll be fun. We'll just watch people bust ghosts.
I'm always up.
Paul Rudd busting ghosts in New York. You know,
he's a
whatever.
Good fit for that kind of movie.
Yeah, I would think, like, if you were going to do, I mean, they're probably getting a bit old now, but, like, in their, like, if you had, like, Rogan, Paul Rudd, like, 20, if you had done a reboot 20 years ago and had that.
Joe,
like,
Rogan.
Yes, Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson.
He was in a show with Foley.
Oh, yeah, fuck. They were. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, oh, yeah, news radio, fucking hell. What were we talking about? I've completely blanked.
Josh, Seth Rogen.
Oh, yeah, like if you had like Seth Rogen, Paul Rudd, like that, not Jonah Hill, but.
I am not a fan of Jonah Hill.
Maybe Danny McBride. How about that as a three? Like,
yeah.
Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, and Paul Rudd as the new Ghostbusters. That could, I mean, so not now fan. Because they're too old, but.
Jonah Hill, that movie, that terrible movie we watched with him with the chick where they actually superimposed them kissing at the end, and there was no. And the one with, oh, fucking hell, Eddie Murphy in it. He is just,
dude.
Every time I see him, he is unlikable. He has no charisma. I just don't like him at all. Like, I don't think he's good in anything he does. He's
Jonah,
got no
talent. He was good in Moneyball. He was good in Wolf of Wall Street.
Anyone could have done those roles, man.
Superbad. Mm-hmm. He's great in Superbad. But I agree with you. He won the lotto. He was cast in Superbad. He did a pretty good job in that film, and then that was it. And also, the crew who made that film liked him, so and somehow out of the three boys who were in that film, he was the breakout star. And I'm like the other two, you know, Michael Cera and I can never remember the guy's name, played McLovin, but I've seen them do. I mean, obviously, Cera was in. Arrested Development, but like they're by far more talented actors than Jonah Hill. And then I saw a story the other day. It was really interesting. YouTube, the algorithm just threw up the other day. I can't remember the fucking Christopher Mintz. YouTube threw up this thing where Michael Cera tells story about Jonah Hill hating Christopher Mintz. And Michael Cera's like, this reporter was like, oh, is it true that Jonah Hill hated Christopher to begin with? And Michael Cera was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, when he came in to read, so Chris came in to read and was so funny.
Oh, my God,
and Jonah didn't, like, so, like, we were improvising a little bit and Jonah was trying to riff and Christopher was just, like, blocking. Jonah thought he was blocking his comedy, but he wasn't. He was like, he was yes-anding, but in a negative way. And he was just being so, like, and it was making Jonah so angry. And the more angry he got, the more unflappable Chris got. And it was just apparent these guys had this, like, undeniable chemistry, but Jonah hated it. Right? And, like, thankfully, he didn't have any say on who got cast and who didn't, because if he did, he wouldn't have got cast and the film would have been nowhere near as good. But, yeah, Christopher was great. He's like, Michael Cera was like, he's a genuine comedic genius and should be in way more stuff. But like,
it makes sense that Jonah Hill was getting threatened by this fuck.
Yeah, because he's funny. I thought it was really interesting to hear that story of, like, to me, it shows that Michael Cera. It knows what's up by telling that story. You know what I mean? Of like, because he tells the story and like doesn't completely throw Jonah under the bus, but like tells the story, so he kind of throws Jonah under the bus.
How does Jonah Hill keep getting work? Like, because
he's a brand name now, right? So you can slap Jonah Hill's name on stuff and it will get people interested.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like, I'm just looking him up because I just feel like, like, he's lucky. But his shtick was being this kind of chubby kid who was awkward, right?
Mm.
Well, he's not chubby anymore, and I don't like the last he did when he did Wolf of Wall Street. That was 11 years ago. Like, he hasn't done anything of like note. You know what I mean? Since then. Like, I'm just looking at his Wikipedia, just like the way his beard is, his bleached hair pushed all the way back. I'm like, oh, God, you are so lucky to have been touched in by, like, touched in the dick by something up there because you have no, yeah, you've got no, he's just shit ass.
Oh, you know what else I watched? I started watching season two of Loki, the Marvel show with Tom Hiddleston or whatever his name is, and Owen Wilson. Again,
meh.
It's fine. I did find myself about halfway through the second episode being like, oh, I'm really into this. I was saying to another mate, Lucas, yesterday, I'm like, I think the stuff with Marvel at the moment is like, there's so much. There's so much of it, and it just feels like homework. It feels like if I begin a Marvel show, then I'm in. But then I watch that, and then I'm going to have to watch another one because this crosses over with this, and then I've got to watch that because this crosses over with that.
Mm.
It seems to be a media, you know, like I watch a lot of pro wrestling, I love wrestling, and it's a tactic that they take up as well where it's like I'm sure they sit around in boardrooms and go, okay, so the average person watches like 10 to 15 hours of television a week. So if we make 10 to 15 hours of content a week, they can't watch anything but us.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
I feel like Marvel are having those conversations, or Disney's having those conversations of like, between Marvel and Star Wars, if we produce this amount of content, da 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 da, we can make it so people are only really watching Disney Plus. You know what I mean? Mm. It's real Black Mirror shit, but I think it's true.
Also, can I say another reason why I hate Jonah Hill?
Oh.
Rich. I thought
I'd move the conversation on.
Rich. Like, absolutely rich. Like,
yeah, just, he's a movie star.
No. But before then, his dad was an accountant and music manager for like Maroon 5, Robin Thicke, and grew up in a super wealthy neighborhood. Went to like super like the private school with all the other celebrities. Like, he's never had a proper job in his whole life. Fuck him. Anyway, should we talk about what we watched?
I'm trying to think if that's everything. Yeah, Loki and whatever I said the other two ones. Kids in the Hall. Kids in the Hall is worth checking out if you haven't watched it. What was the other thing that I said? Ashuka. All the stuff on Disney Plus, bleh.
Meh.
Everything
on that on Disney Plus should just be a movie.
Yeah. Disney Plus should have been a movie.
Like, even like when you're talking about Osaka and it's like, you're like, oh, because they, you know, they kidnapped the son of the green chick. And I'm like, I watched like 5 episodes of that. And there's like 8 episodes. So, like,
it doesn't happen until right at the, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I couldn't even really remember.
Because
Michael pointed it out to me and I was like, oh, yeah, I suppose that happened. It was so inconsequential, you know, like in my head that. Anyway, this week we're only talking about one show because it's been a busy week. Kelly had hens stuff to do and blah, blah, blah.
We always go too long anyway.
So, I mean, we've managed to do 25 minutes on nothing. We watched Love is Blind.
Yeah. Netflix.
So Kelly picked the show this week.
Love is Blind. I think maybe I watched the second or first season of this. And it's obviously fucking terrible, but I am intrigued by some of the most terrible people I've ever seen. But I'd rather watch this than any kind of maths show, because in the maths show, they purposely do stuff to like create drama, and it's a terrible show. But at least with this one, they generally do just go to a casting agency, see anyone who wants to be an actor, then rebrand them on the show as a sales associate, and then put them in this like house and make them date people that they can't see and blah, blah, blah. And then they, you know, find a few stories. And it's funny because it's like these people have known each other like for a week and they get engaged and say, I love you. And then once they get out of the house, they've got 4 weeks together and they get married. And last year I watched these two people actually got down the aisle, and when they got down the aisle and they started doing vows. She said, you know what? I don't think I want to do this. It was great. It was great. And then he went, yeah, thank God. I don't know how to get out of it. It was so good.
Has anyone actually got married from the show?
Yes.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah.
I've never seen this before. This was one of these like fucking, you know, lockdown things that everyone was watching. Ah, you know what I'm watching? Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. Tiger King and then Love is Blind. It's like, oh, fuck. I couldn't think of anything worse. I will say I loved hate watching this. Like I was so drawn in by everything about it. It like Kroll, when was Kroll Show made? 10 years ago?
Maybe, yeah.
So like Kroll Show took what was happening on TV and heightened it to an extreme level where you were like, oh man, that's hilarious. That would never happen. I feel like executives in Netflix are going back and watching old episodes of Kroll Show to fucking get ideas of what, like, this is insane. We'll have like a gigolo, if it doesn't already exist, there'll be a gigolo house in the next couple of weeks on Netflix, you know what I mean? Like
with what, with a bunch of dudes?
With a bunch of gigolos, like male prostitutes living in the house together.
I mean, I'd watch that. Like, what are we doing?
Saying. This is what I'm saying.
I'd watch it.
This show, so like either one or two things is happening here, right? Like with this show. It's either completely fabricated and therefore is kind of entertaining to watch because the people in the show are fucking insane.
Yeah.
Or the cult of personality around fame and fortune and Instagram and TikTok followers and all that kind of stuff is so omnipresent and like soul crushing that people will literally make themselves look certifiably insane on TV for 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Dude.
I could not. You were watching another episode this morning and I came in, I got fucking sucked into the vortex for 10 minutes. Because the whole time I'm like, are these people for real? And I feel like that's the appeal. Like, you just seem to enjoy watching people. Like,
you really get into it and
you're barracking for everyone and stuff. Yeah, but I can't help but think about, like, what's the effect of this on idiots? Because the vast majority of people who are watching this are fucking idiots. You know what I mean?
And you know, like, what the effect is? It's the reason why good comedy doesn't get, you know, done in Australia, because the idiots love this shit. That's, MAFS is one of the biggest shows in the country.
But it's only one of the biggest shows in the country because people don't get given anything else.
Correct.
Because this shit is cheap to make. Like, we've already talked about how this show is in the process of being sued by people who were on it previously. Like, I brought it up when we talked about Squid Game, and I talked about how Netflix reality shows don't treat people well. This is the granddaddy of them all. This is the one where people have talked about being psychologically tortured. You know, like, there are people who are on the show who go through all this shit and they don't even make the cut, which is insane.
Well, they get no screen time.
Yeah, they're just not even on the fucking show. Well, no, not even that. There have been people who have matched as couples, and just because the producer were like, "Nah, it's not that interesting," they don't go on the they don't go on the show. But there was one guy, like, this is what made me think that it's like completely fabricated. The guy who was going around and saying all the same shit to the same women,
to different women, yeah,
You
gotta let me know you're for real. I gotta be for real.
So if you haven't watched this before, essentially what happens is like 15 women, 15 men. They get put in two sides of a house essentially, and then in the middle of the house there's these dating pods where two people can talk to each other, but there's a wall between them. So they can hear each other, but they can't see each other.
Mm.
And the idea is that they date blind, love is blind, first, get to know each other, and then they decide who they're going to see in real life, right? Like, they pick one person and that becomes their person. And then if they get past that point, then they get married.
Yeah.
And then, if people get married, do they win? Like, is it a competition?
The winner
at
the end of the day is love.
Oh, my God.
Love wins, baby. Yeah, so basically if a couple, what they do is like the guy proposes to the chick, and if she says yes, it means they both have to exit the pod and then they go meet, and then they can't go back. Like, you can't go back into the pods or anything. That's it. And then once they meet, sorry, guys, I'm a little dusty. Once they meet, then there's like 4 weeks of like a reality show kind of thing where they're, you know, in apartments and stuff. And they follow them for like a week or two in the holiday part of it. And then they let them go back to their respective. Because another thing is they might not live in the same state. So they've got to like finagle, like, where do they live, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it was really cool. There was this like uptight white guy and he was such a cunt. He was such a cunt. They showed him at the beginning when women were talking and he was like, so tell me about yourself. What do you do for a living? She's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. What do you do for a living? And he goes, oh, I wasn't prepared for you to ask me questions. And she's like, ha, 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 well, that's how it works. And you just hear a door close. He just walks out on her.
That guy absolutely was a plant. Him and...
I honestly think there's terrible people out there, darling.
Matthew, right? The guy that Matthew. We're talking about.
I don't...
And the blonde chick who just magically appeared to talk to the black girl about the same, about Matthew. Both plants. Absolutely.
I don't know, man.
No one like in the show... Sorry, bub, to talk over the top of you, but I just want to say, no one in this show is a good enough actor to make me believe like, oh, yeah, no, this is really who I am. And surely the producers of the show... If this guy was doing this for real, a producer would pull him aside and be like, what are you doing? Are you going to fucking play the game or not, man?
Why would they do that?
Because if they didn't have a plan for him and he was just going through each woman going, nah.
But that makes good TV because then he went and talked to another girl and as soon as he heard how her voice was.
It's all way too
convenient. He just kind of got up and went, no. And then she was like still talking and she was like, did he just, oh my God.
So
oh
you're
my
telling
God, he
me,
just walked out on me.
Let me ask you this for real.
Yeah.
You're telling me that you think that this guy went into this house, like watched the show, managed to get on the show, right, and his whole plan was I'm going to fuck with as many women as possible.
No. I think, okay, half right. He, because when he did start talking to a chick, he started saying stuff like, well, now all of America thinks I'm a terrible person. And he kept on saying the words, now all of America, now I've just embarrassed this woman in front of, you know, millions of people. And the other chick he was talking to, she was like, I don't know what kind of like Instagram fame you're looking for on this show, but you're not a nice person. And I honestly feel like this guy is he's a finance guy. He's a douchebag. And he was like, fuck it, I'll go on this show. But, and he's uptight and... not charismatic. He was definitely looking at it to be like a guy that has followers and like get fame because he kept on referencing stuff like that.
I feel like it's the producers of the show trying to address criticism of the show through analogs in the show.
I don't think they're that smart.
I think they fucking are that smart. No. That they've placed these people in the show to be like, you know, to be like, oh, it's bad to be on here just looking for Instagram followers, even though that's the only reason people come onto these fucking shows.
Well, we can agree to disagree because I genuinely think I have met some guys on dating apps that are so fucking narcissistic that he fits right the fuck in.
Hey, I'm right here, okay?
Yeah. But yeah, he just would walk out on people. Then he started talking to a chick and then, you know, all the women are staying together, so... they found out that he had said the same things to them separately, which was...
one girl found out that this plant had had the same thing said to her.
Don't say a plant because you don't know 100% she's a plant.
She is.
Anyway, two women came together and said that he had said the same thing to them, which was, I'm only talking to you, I'm falling for you, blah, blah, blah. And the chick that you think is the plant, when she heard this, she was like, you know what, this is awful, I'm out. She left the show.
Convenient.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
My work here is done. I'm leaving. Bye-bye. See you later, Robert Plant.
Sledgehammer.
That's Peter Gabriel, baby. Right. That's Plant another sing? Boomer lead singer.
Oh, Robert Plant sings 5 Days, Summer in Love. Is that him?
No, that's Robert Smith from The Cure. Robert Plant is the lead singer of Led Zeppelin.
Been a bit. That one?
Yeah, you weren't. That's a pretty wide array of bands. It's Led Zeppelin, The Cure, and Genesis. That's three very different bands there.
I'm more smart.
It's three very different bands. Anyway, Love is Blind, the worst reality, the worst. This is, when we did Squid Game, I went off on one about like how this is the end of society.
End of society's happened.
This is worse. This is worse because like at least Squid Game, like the thing that it came from was like an anti-capitalist statement and, you know, there was like some artistic design and stuff going on in the show. This show, Love is Blind, is so fucking cheap and nasty. It's like a cross between Big Brother and the fucking Bachelor, but also with like, and like the same thing I said about Squid Game. These are old fucking psychometric testing things that were being done like in the 50s and 60s that are now outlawed like in psychology as being like unethical, but are being used to make TV shows, and people are willingly put their hands up to go and be a part of these fucking awful thought experiments to get, you know, 20,000 followers on fucking TikTok. Having said that, I could see how you could absolutely getting sucked into fucking watching this. Like, yes. This is more interesting than Squid Game because of the personalities in it. And, like, I will never get over someone having spoken to someone for the third time
and
saying shit like, I just know. Kelly,
maybe I knew with you.
Kelly, I know. We'd at least fucking seen each other in real life.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And the, you know, I mean, the electricity was fucking undeniable, baby.
Shut up. Shut up. This show taught me that some women don't know when enough false eyelashes are enough. There's a chick there that has literal broomsticks on the edge of her eyelid.
I also can't quite work out what the dress code is. Like one day they'll be all kitted up to the nines and then the next they're fucking farting in tracksuit pants and then the next day they're in a three-piece suit.
Because I think they give them dates, like a bed date.
But they can't see each other, so who gives a shit? Why wouldn't you just be wearing fucking track pants every
sometimes
day?
Sometimes when you're wearing tracksuit pants, you're comfortable.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Everyone should just be, like, if it was real, people would be wearing fucking track, like, people, if this was real, dudes would literally be wearing a shirt and no pants, just playing with their dick while they were fucking talking to these women.
I just can't believe so many people, like, cry. Like, they'll be, like, a second time they meet someone.
It's insane.
And they're, like, crying. How damaged are these people?
Genuinely, it makes me, like, the more emotional people get, the more I'm like, this is bullshit. And if they're not being instructed, like if they're not being directed as actors, then the producers are doing everything they possibly can to get those reactions out of people. Mm. But I can see why people are just like, look, this is just absolute trash and I hate this guy or I like this girl or whatever and I'm going to keep watching it. But what amazes me is like that people volunteer for this. This just feels like, to me, this just feels like the seventh circle of hell.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And, like, the thing that – just one last thing. Just one last thing. When every single person in both houses are attractive.
Mm.
Like, even Matthew the bad guy nerd is, like, a Hulk. He's, like, body-wise, he's, like, the fucking Incredible Hulk.
Because he's a bro, yo.
Yeah, but, like, the idea that these guys can't meet anyone is laughable.
Because they're terrible people and women are smarter than that.
The women aren't great people either, but it's not like there's 15 fucking Mother Teresas and 15 gym bros. Like, they're all fucking idiots.
Yeah, but girls of quality aren't dating those fucks.
Listen, we all know in the real world. We all know in the real world that it's the terrible people who fucking succeed at life. So the idea that these guys can't meet anyone because they're terrible people, you know who terrible people get together with?
Mm.
Other terrible people.
Just like us.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we're not sure about how many Grumpazoids.
What did I get? Do you remember what I gave Squid Game? I gave Squid Game 0, I think.
I don't know.
I'll give this 1.
1? I mean, you sucked in. You came back in the room and started watching it.
I'll give it 1 grump.
But it's
a very grumpy grump.
I'll give it 1.5 grumps.
Yeah,
it's a very grumpy grump.
Very bad.
It's very bad. But the thing is, like, if I never see the show again, my life will be no different. But if I'm sitting down farting in front of the TV, I might put it on. Who cares?
I'm never going to see the show again.
No. No. I'm never gonna fart again. That's better.
What?
Oh, shut up. No. All right. Listen, I'm gonna fall asleep. I'm dusty as all fuck.
Oh, you can join our audience.
Yeah. But thanks for listening, everyone. Tell your friends. Share. Well, spread the word.
Yeah, a couple of things. Thank you for listening. Listenership's gone up. Followership's gone up. We appreciate that. Yay. That happens because of you.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that. We love you very much. You can follow Kelly. I put this in the notes, but I feel like no one reads the
notes. I'm on Kelly Fistuka.
You can follow Kelly at Kelly Fistuka on everything. You can follow me on TikTok and Instagram at Mr. Damien Gibson. And also, we have a Patreon. It's
started a Patreon.
Yeah. It's just $5. You don't get anything extra. It's just and you can just donate. You can just sign up to be a member and then discontinue if you want, or you can just give us $5 or whatever. It's $5 a month, Australian. So if you listen in America, it's 10 cents. It just helps keep the lights on. It costs us money to do this, so by no means, we're never going to put ads in here unless really hefty fucking advertiser comes along, but we like doing it. So if you want to contribute to that, you can, but there's absolutely no what's the word I'm looking for?
I know.
Absolutely no.
Absolutely everybody.
Absolutely
everybody.
No.
Pressure. Under
pressure. Pressure.
1, 2, 3, 4. It's a Billy Joel song, everyone. Listen, I am dying over here. I love you all. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Love you.